for the most part, you just got to do something. No one has, there's no plan. I have no idea what was going to happen here. This is completely not the vision I had for this place at all. But it's worked out.
I was going to say, has it turned out the way better or?
Better.
Okay.
Better.
Oh man, I'm excited. All right, what's up, guys? Make sure you turn up the treble on this one. we got a couple guys that have very deep voices. Paul went on Charter Performance. We are still in Seattle. We're here with Ben Konigsberg of Rain City Fit. What's up, man?
How you doing?
This is an interview 11 years in the making. Or maybe even more, right?
I mean, we could have done it back then.
We could have done it back then.
It would have been a little different.
Yeah, it would have been a little different. Ben is a good friend of mine from back in the day. We went to college together at American University. Haven't seen each other for a while. We reconnected recently through Uncharted and both our common passions in fitness.
Yeah.
So before we get into Ben and his story, which is a pretty good one for a variety of reasons, unchartedperformance.com, hit us up on that newsletter and subscribe. So, that said, Ben, again, before I get into the fitness and your journey that you've gone through to where you're at right now in Rain City Fit, you have a huge passion for cats. The only reason I bring that up because we also have a cat.
Okay.
Alina also loves cats.
Okay.
But you actually have a pair of cat pants.
I do.
That are pretty, pretty famous.
At least in the
circles here, right?
Yeah, it's the only reason this place is in business. People like the cat pants.
All right. So how did it come? What's up with the cats? And the cat pants.
So I live in a house with three cats.
You do? Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
We got three cats and a dog.
Mm-hmm. And they get along.
For the most part.
Okay.
One of the cats is mine, and he's a little erratic, a little crazy, and he's the one I have kind of tattooed all over me.
Okay.
And the cat pants, I stole them from my sister-in-law.
So they were hers?
They were hers.
Okay.
Yeah, but they look better on me.
Okay, gotcha. Anything looks better on you, right?
And people respond well to the cat pants.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
They do.
I break them out. If I'm having a stressful day, mm-hmm. it's like, all right, I got to bring out the cat pants.
And you bring it to the gym?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'll wear them for class.
Do you think people are more motivated when you wear the cat pants?
And they're less. I look less like a bro, so they're less intimidated.
Okay. Gotcha. All right. Besides the cats, you're also an aspiring actor.
Yes.
If terrible I can say so. You're a man of many talents. How did you get into acting?
If
you got into it.
When I lived in Korea, I did a couple commercials there.
Okay.
Because they just need white people. I was white.
Uh-huh.
So I did a couple commercials. I did a soap opera.
Really?
Yeah. I was just
okay. Before we get into the soap opera, okay. What commercials did you do?
I did a commercial for LG 3D TVs.
Okay.
Yeah.
What role did you play?
I was the guy sitting there, like, trying to imagine a soccer ball coming at me and reacting to it. Okay. For like 20 hours. Uh-huh. I just did that, and I was awful at it.
what was the other commercial?
I did that one, and then I did a one for phones where I was just in the background.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And the soap opera?
Soap opera.
You have just perfect hair for the soap opera.
Yeah, I got that soap opera.
Yeah.
I was just in the background. I was just an extra.
Okay.
Like sitting at the dinner table, like pretending to eat.
Okay.
For $75, so I'll take it.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But then you've done some stuff.
So
in Seattle as well, right?
Here, a friend of mine has done a couple variety shows. Uh-huh. And he's basically brought me out as, like, the aloof dummy with muscles
okay.
to, like, bring people drinks and, like, get sexually harassed on stage.
Oh, perfect.
But it's got me clients.
So I'll keep about it. Awesome. So watch out for Ben coming at you on stage and screen. You
yes.
never know.
Yeah.
All right. So as I mentioned, we are at Rain City Fit,
yep.
which is your gym.
Yep.
It's been quite the journey. That we talked about before we started recording and also communicating and whatnot. You weren't necessarily, from what I remember personally, is you weren't Ben as I see you now.
Yeah.
I think your arms were maybe a fifth or a quarter of that size, right? You were skinny.
Yeah.
You were very good at basketball.
Yeah.
You were tall, skinny, lanky, right?
Yeah.
20-year-old.
Yeah.
And you are not anymore. Mm-hmm. But before we get to how you got to look the way you do,
yeah.
You've gone through some hurdles.
Yep.
To put it bluntly, with drugs and alcohol and whatnot. How did you get into drugs in the first place?
I mean, it started just with most people started in high school. Mm-hmm. You know, I had a friend who, you know, started smoking weed, but that's no big deal. I wouldn't say that's the gateway drug in any capacity. But I grew up in Vermont, and Oxycontin was really big there. Mm-hmm. It was easier to get than weed. And so I just started doing that when I was 15. With a friend, and I was always entrepreneurial, so I started selling that.
Okay.
And it got pretty bad. 19, I was doing heroin in Oregon, and then back in Vermont, was using oxys with needles pretty bad.
Okay.
Got to the point where I was kind of looking for a crying out for help, and I ended up going to Thailand and was just supposed to go for a couple months and ended up staying for a year because I couldn't go back to the situation I was in. And I'd like to say that that was the end of it, but it's kind of something that's followed me for the last 10 years from then.
Did you ever hit rock bottom? Was there ever like a breaking point that changed things around, or was it? Is there a catalyst that kind of
definitely points that I remember early on that could have been rock bottom. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's like any addict. It's like, you know, you have one of those nights where you feel like you might not wake up the next day and you're like praying to whatever God, you know, you do or don't believe in, mm-hmm. that you're never going to do anything again. But then you come back and, you know, use again. Mm-hmm. I'm sure every addict has been done that exact same thing.
Okay.
So for me, those were never the times that were going to ever get me to stop using drugs. Mm-hmm. For me, it was always had to try to find something to justify not using drugs. And that's actually where getting into working out in my early 20s became that thing. Because mm-hmm. it was, all right, I want to go to the gym the next day. I can't go get drunk and do oxys. Because you feel like
shit.
I swear.
Yeah,
you feel like shit the next day. You know, and so you're not going to go to the gym. And so that got me clean for a little while, being like, no, I want to go work out tomorrow. I want to go do, and I didn't know what I was doing in the gym.
Yeah, those good. Pardon my interruption.
Yeah, yeah.
But what was it about working out? Why didn't you start playing soccer or pick up ball again?
Yeah.
What was it about working out?
You know, I think it just, my dad was always big into fitness.
Okay.
So I remember we had like the first Bowflex, you know, they ever had, and you know, the old crappy one. And it just felt good. It makes you feel good. It's mm-hmm. like, it's not, it is science, but it's not rocket science. Like, people go work out for the first time mm-hmm. and you feel good all day. Like, okay. I'd see that with people all the time and they're surprised. I'm like, yeah, this is the way it works. Mm-hmm. Like, that's why I love doing this. You know, you feel good afterwards.
Did using an addiction make you feel good?
No, never.
Okay.
And, you know, for the whole, like, there are certain drugs that obviously make you feel really good while you're doing them.
Yeah, but after.
But, no. It's, you're just looking for something, and that happened to be the place where I would look for it. And it never can give you whatever you're looking for.
Okay.
You know? And to this day, you know, I've been clean now for a few years, and it took, but it's taken a lot of work to get there, and it took a lot of good things in my life as justifications to know that, like, if I went back and used again, I'm going to lose these things.
Yeah.
So therefore, why would I ever want to go do that again?
And you have a lot more to lose.
Yeah, I have a lot more to lose now than just a restaurant job, which provides all those things, mm-hmm. you know, the drugs right there for you.
Okay. Yeah. So was that, I guess, an enabler working in that industry?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
And
because I can't put myself in your shoes, but I struggled through alcohol. It's not a gateway drug, but you get into different things with, you know, doing different people and in bathrooms of hole in the wall bars, and you're ripping, you know, certain drugs off the back of the toilet, yeah. right? yeah. So I'm thinking like no reservations, yeah. you know, Anthony Bourdain. Yeah. So that's kind yeah. of the industry that, that.
Yeah, you know, and it's the kind of thing where you can just get away with. It's such an easy job mm-hmm. to do if you have a look and you have, you know, how to talk to people and you have okay. some charm. So you can be high as hell the whole time. And like I've been in restaurants where, you know, I've had 8 tables and I've gone into the bathroom and shot up real quickly and come back and you're still making stuff happen. Uh-huh. And then even when it wasn't that bad, it's still just the idea of, all right, it's Saturday night, we're all out at the same time. Let's go to the bar. Let's go get drunk. And for me, I always struggled going home after the bars were done. I always wanted more adventure.
Yeah.
Let's go down to the street corner and see what kind of trouble we can get into, which usually meant buying crack.
yeah.
Which, you know, I would do. And for me, it was the kind of thing I'd do like once a week. I do it on Saturdays because I wouldn't drink during the week. Even when I was, you know, a couple years ago, doing really well, super healthy during the week, and then Saturday would come and I'd just go crazy. And then you wake up Sunday morning and you just feel so depressed. And just like you just go like that mm-hmm. over and over. And so there were times I was like, how am I going to break this? Like, what's it going to be?
So before I ask you, the reason I'm sharing is because I was in a similar situation. I would really start drinking on Wednesday.
Yeah.
And, you know, my job, you know, it was a really good job and I didn't really appreciate for it. But I would, you know, obviously come in hungover. You know, Thursday night, do the same thing,
yeah.
hung over on Friday, and then I would thank God for Saturday because I can start drinking earlier.
Yeah.
Instead of yeah. being hungover, I can now
yeah.
drink
yeah.
to feel better
yeah.
for the next day, and that would just
yeah.
spiral and continue to do that
yeah.
for months on end, and I actually, you know, ended up in the ER. I was like, you know, because I couldn't feel, I was driving to class,
yeah.
and I was doing my MBA.
Okay.
you know, and I couldn't feel, I lost feeling in my arm
yep.
going to class to take my final. So like, I probably should check in
yep.
to the ER. And that didn't even stop me. I just paused, right?
Yeah.
That was
yeah.
So that wasn't my breaking
yeah.
point.
Yeah, exactly.
I started drinking water for 3 months, and then I started drinking again.
Yeah.
And my catalyst is probably behind the camera.
Yeah.
But it helps. So what was your catalyst? What broke that, you know,
broke the
cycle?
Streak.
Yeah.
For the most part, it's kind of been this business.
Okay.
And just, you know, I did therapy, I did a bunch of shit, mm-hmm. But it would still be in the back of my head all the time. And I only ever used when I was drunk, but that made me scared to go out and drink with normal people. Mm-hmm. And I never really had a problem with drinking, as like in the idea that I needed to do it all the time and would get, you know, super hammered all the time, but the drinking would lead to the drugs. And that was always the pattern for me. And this place, I just knew I couldn't do it with this place. And it took so much work. And so I just, you know, I've had addictions in various forms. And I think people say they have an addictive personality. I don't really know what that means. I think people get addicted to everything. But this place became, you know, I got the keys to this and it took 6 weeks of construction. 12 hours a day, and my brother helped a lot, but for the most part, I was just in here, just working hard, and I couldn't, I latched onto that.
Okay.
And it was a really positive thing, as opposed to latching onto something that was a negative thing.
Gotcha.
And it just, I haven't looked back.
Awesome.
And it's to the point, you know, like, I'm able to now go out and drink, socially, and I don't like getting drunk, because I like being sober, but I'm able to do that, have a few drinks, wake up in the morning.
You're able to feel control okay. yourself.
Yeah, yeah, and it's not, and it used to be the thing where I'd be scared to have a drink because I'm like, all right, is this going to lead to 10? And then am I going to end up on the corner? Because that was the pattern for a bunch of years. And I was really, really good about hiding it from people. No one, my family had no idea. I live with my brother. He has no idea. I'm good at being sneaky, which isn't a great trait for an addict, but most of them are.
Okay.
You know, so
and congratulations and thank you so much for
yeah,
being open. And
yeah,
sharing
it's
this.
It's fitness has changed. It's so cliche and garbage to say that, but you know it was and it could have been anything. But for me, this was the thing that kind of was like, I feel awesome doing this. I like looking a little bit bigger. You know, I didn't like how it looked when
I was this big.
Yeah, you know, and you know, actually basketball. I was playing like, you know, 5-on-5 men's basketball, and our team was pretty short, and I was one of the taller guys. I was going up against bigger guys who outweigh me by 100 pounds. So I was like, all right, I got to get in the gym. I got to put on 20 pounds of muscle. Then next year, I'm pushing guys around. It felt good.
Yeah, so you felt my pain.
Yeah.
So before we get to Rain City Fit and actually how it started, before you even got the keys to this place, you know, when you started working out, you know, what did you know about working out? Did you just hit the gym? Hey, I'm going to throw some, you know, process, you know, bench, totally. Curls, all the time.
Like, no idea. You know, I try to do like 4 days and mostly never do legs. Mm-hmm. So I'd always want to do legs. Like, all right, I'm going to try to do legs. And then I go super hard at it, and I couldn't walk for a week. Okay. You know, I'd be in the restaurant, like, walking to my table, and I'd just see, like, the cooks, like, laughing at me, you know? And so it'd make me scared to do legs, because, like, I don't want to do this. I can't walk.
Okay.
And so, yeah, it was, like, arms, like, probably 2 of the days, like, chest and back.
Okay.
You know, and I'd just go to the gym and, like, look at other people and see what they were doing, and then try to do that. And it was... that was when I was living in Vermont, and so it was never an idea that this might become
bigger than that.
Yeah, a profession. Mm-hmm. And so it was fine. And I just started to grow a little more. I just started reading more about it. And at that point, I had no idea what to do about diet. And it's just always evolving. You know, mm-hmm. I'm always, right now, just trying to learn as much as possible. And
when do you think it could be serious?
I moved out to Seattle about 4 years ago. Someone in passing actually mentioned to me, like, hey, you should become a personal trainer. Mm-hmm. Like, I basically had, like, just a little squat stand down in my apartment, my basement apartment, where it was able to do, like, squats, bench, and deadlifts. Oh. I had, like, a bunch of mats. And my ceiling's not high enough where I couldn't do military press. I talked to my brother, landlord, about, like, can I just cut out, like, little holes for the plates to go through so I can do military press? Yeah. He's like, no, it's crazy. and so, you know, someone mentioned to me in passing, I was like, no, you know, I like working in restaurants, but I always wanted an exit strategy, and mm-hmm. I never wanted to get a real job. And I was like, you know what, maybe...
This is more than a real job.
Yeah, well, it's not a real job.
Different,
but you know, different. Yeah, it's more than a real job, but it's different. And so I was like, you know what, let's get certified.
Okay.
And so I just did that, I looked around, I did the NASM. You know, I thought it was kind of garbage, the certification. You really have to answer their questions how they want to be answered mm-hmm. to get certified.
Okay.
And
that tends to be the case when you're taking somebody else's certification.
Yeah, but you need to do it to get a job
in
an actual gym. Mm-hmm. And so I did it. You know, I went through the program, crushed the test. It was easy, but I never really used those methods. Mm-hmm. You know, it was more about experience. How did I get strong? Like, what did I like to do? And just... working with people and just, you know, the internet has everything these days.
Yeah.
And if you eat it up and get as much info as you can learn a lot.
Yeah. Looking back at it then, in terms of your growth, literally.
Yeah.
what did you learn about yourself and, you know, through studying, through experimenting on your body? What's like some of the key takeaways that, hey, this is what I went through, this is what worked?
You know, for me, I think once I started learned how to start doing like squats and deadlifts, mm-hmm. I loved them, and it was so much fun, and I felt so much stronger. And mobility was a big thing for me because I'm not all that mobile now, but I'm way better than I was 3 years ago, and it feels good. And so for me, you know, I was always a skinny kid. I had to eat when I want to gain weight. I have to eat like crazy, even just to maintain weight. I have to eat nonstop.
How much do you weigh right now?
I'm about 190. I didn't have breakfast this morning, so I'm probably like 193.
Okay.
But, you know, that's...
How tall are you? You're
6'1".
6'1"?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I have to eat 5... No, I wish. I have to eat like 5.
It must be the hair.
Yeah, it's definitely the hair. You know, I have to eat a lot to maintain this.
Okay.
You know, because in high school, and even when you knew me when I was 19, I was probably like 140.
Yeah. So it's been a...
Yeah. So you can get eat, you know, one of those like hard gainers.
Yeah.
But now I'm at a point where... I'm trying to do it as healthy as possible.
Yeah.
You know, like eating good fats and all that kind of stuff. But so for me, in terms of the fitness, right now, you know, I have my dedicated days. Like I like doing leg day and squat day and way more than I kind of hate bench press. I feel like I suck at it. And I like doing a lot of pulling, especially with people here in Seattle. Everyone works on computers all day long, mm-hmm. right? So everything is this. So I get all my people who come in, they're all like that. So in gym, we're just doing all sorts of this kind of stuff, just trying to bring people's shoulders back and it's just been good me learning about, oh, let's work on that a little bit, and then how can I put that into my personal trainings. And so, you know, I have kind of my dedicated days that I do in the gym, but I have a couple days where I can just come in here and have 2 hours to mess around, and those are my favorite days.
Okay.
Trying out new things, trying out things I've seen, and then trying to figure out how can I put that into use in either a class or a personal training setting.
When did you start thinking that, hey, all right, so you got certified in ASM. I want to do something for myself. Because you didn't jump into, hey, I got certified and let me open a gym.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was some steps in between.
Yeah, so I got certified and then...
You were still working in...
I was still working in restaurants and I was working out at the Y. The Y has always kind of been the gym I've gone to. Back in Vermont, we had one of the old school YMCAs and it was always the place I went. And I just liked those way better than kind of the LA Fitness 24-hour. Just less douchey... less bros sitting there, you know, doing that. And it's kind of a community feel. And so I was working out there and I knew they were hiring. I knew a couple people there and it was, I did some interviews and I was totally honest. I was like, listen, I just got certified. Like I've been doing this on my own for a while. And like, I work with some friends, you know, I work with some people on my soccer team, but for the most part, I'm going to be, you know, coming into a gym. This is going to be my first job in a gym. I was totally honest. I think they liked my energy, they liked that I was young, especially it was a YMCA, so it was a little older, more family oriented. But, so I started working there, did it for maybe a year. They were like, hey, you have to do group classes. I was like, I don't know what that means. And at first it freaked me out. You know, I was in charge of like 15 people at once in a big open space. But then I started dialing that in a little bit, learning more about how to do it, and I didn't, for the first classes they had me doing, it was like me up front with like little bands and weights, like to the beat. I was like, what? And then I would realize that I would do that for an hour and then I'd go try to do my own workout and I was just beat. Like I was, and so that was the thing. I was like, all right, I don't want to do that anymore. Like it's messing with my own workouts. And so I just started, like, I'd set up little stations and, you know, and then they gave me use of the gym. And I set up, I was really good about being creative, like making sleds and just different stuff at the Y. Because they don't have any budget, it's non-profit, so they're not going to give you money for anything.
Okay.
But, you know, just setting up, making people like, all right, we're going to use weights today. Like, let's use some kettlebells. And people just have fun with that. And not doing anything crazy. I was really like, hey, no one's getting hurt. Like, that's the number one. You know, because you got to look at, like, what are the top three priorities? Like, fun, no injuries, and getting fitter.
Yeah.
And for the most part, people are just coming to the Y, like, those are pretty even.
Yeah.
No injuries is probably, like, the highest one, because people can't get hurt.
Yeah.
And my classes grew. I had, like, 30 people. I was making $12.50 an hour. Like, maybe the entrepreneurial spirit of selling drugs popped right back in.
Okay.
Like, let's do this on my own.
All right, perfect. So it's a good place to stop. We're going to be right back with Ben. All right.
Hey, team. Powell.
And Alina.
With Uncharted Performance.
Hey guys, we are here to ask you to support our guests. You can do it in a few different ways. Way number one is...
if you are watching the video on either our website, unchartedperformance.com, or our YouTube channel, make sure you subscribe and leave a thumbs up. Leave 2, 3, 4, 5, as many as you can. But most of all, leave a comment in the notes below.
And if you're listening to us on iTunes or Stitcher, subscribe to our channel there. You can leave us a comment, leave us an honest 5-star review. And last but not least, go to our website.
And subscribe to our newsletter. Literally, it takes less than a minute, makes a huge difference for our guests to get their message out across all the internets and outer space. Thank you guys, and enjoy the rest of the show.
Bye.
See you.
Cool. All right, what's going on, guys? We're back with Ben at Rain City Fit. We've gone through your personal journey, how you found the weights, man.
Yeah.
How you got so jacked. Basically, eat a lot.
Eat a lot, yeah.
If you're eating a lot, eat more.
Eat more. Exactly.
Because you're probably not eating enough.
I got like 3 jars of peanut butter in my locker up there.
All right. So that's the secret. Yeah. Looking jacked and being like Ben, just eat a lot of peanut butter. But we got into talking about Rain City Fit, which is where we're at. And we'll take some pictures, so make sure you check out our Instagram to see more of the layout here. But you didn't start in this space.
Yeah.
So after you got out of the, when you started thinking about getting out of the Y,
yeah,
What was your initial thought? What was your initial step?
So it was, you know, basically I was just thinking about the numbers. Like, all right, I have 25, 30 people in these class. Mm-hmm. I'm making basically 75 cents a person mm-hmm. for this hour. If I start my own boot camp and I get 10 people at 10 bucks, I'm making $100 an hour. I could probably do that. Mm-hmm. And so it was just, and I started thinking about when do people want to do classes. And I was doing evening classes there.
At the Y.
I was doing mostly evening classes. But I morning boot camps, people like getting their workouts in early.
Okay.
And so I went through the business side, did an LLC, had a friend that was helping. I was basically trading personal training for him helping out with kind of setting up all the legal side. I'm terrible at that.
Yeah.
And
it's a little barter, friendly barter, basically.
Yeah, which is, well, I still do that in here. You know, I train my tattoo artist. You know, I train someone who helps clean the gym.
Yeah.
And so I just put a website together, and basically it was friends for the most part who were coming, and I was giving everybody discounts.
So before we get too far, I'm sorry, Rain City Fit, how did you come up with the name?
The name, you know, I think my brother helped me out with that. Obviously, it's Seattle. It's rain.
Yeah, all the time.
And it just was short and catchy. Okay. And I was actually surprised that there it wasn't taken.
Yeah. When I found, you know, when we reconnected, and I saw that, I was like, nobody else took that before.
I think there was a Rain City Fitness.
Okay.
And I don't know if they're still around. Okay. I don't want to promote them.
All right. So Rain City Fit.
And yeah, I got lucky with it, and it's awesome.
Okay.
And a friend helped me out with the logo. Which is really good, and it's simple.
Yeah.
And, you know, just I've had an amazing group of people who supported me and help, and I wouldn't be anywhere close to that.
Okay.
You know, doing the construction, a lot of it I did on my own. A lot of it friends helped. Mm-hmm. You know, just moving in these 100-pound mats.
Yeah.
I couldn't do that on my own. Yeah. You know.
And this is it's not a huge space, but
it's small space, but it's 30 mats that are each weigh 100 pounds. Me and my brother did it. That was like one of the worst days.
Yeah, exactly. Was it summertime?
No, it was October. Okay. So it wasn't terrible. Yeah. But I lost, so I didn't work out for like 5 weeks. I lost like 15 pounds. I was down to like 170.
Oh, wow.
Like after construction was done.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you put a lot of blood and sweat, literally blood and sweat into this place.
Over.
So sorry for the digression, but back to the boot camp that you started doing.
Yeah, so started doing 6 a.m. boot camps Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
And they were not
outside.
They were outside.
I just went to a park and super small. Some days we'd have two people.
How did you get the word out about this? You said friends, but...
Friends, website. That's when I started playing with, like, all right, where do I advertise? Mm-hmm. And so I was doing, like, Google advertising. Get a Facebook page together. It was super small. And at this point, I was still working in restaurants.
Okay.
And I was working at like an outdoor summer bar place. So I would work some nights till 2 in the morning and then have to get up at 5 in the morning and do boot camp.
Okay.
And that was
so it wasn't, that was rough. You didn't cut the cord with
your main source
of income before you started?
No, because I was making nothing.
Okay.
You know, and I didn't like to, a lot of the boot camps, especially the outdoors ones, mostly outdoor boot camps. It's like bring a mat and like 10-pound dumbbells, and we'll, you know, do some stuff and run around. And that's not my thing. I like people using weights, so I, you know, went and bought a bunch of kettlebells and some sleds and ropes, and would carry it around. I bought a car that I was supposed to use for this. I was supposed to buy a pickup truck, like a used pickup truck that I could put all my equipment in. But then I started looking at like El Caminos and Rancheros, and I bought like a 1970 Ranchero, which I learned the shocks couldn't really take the weight. Yeah. So then it's just, I had to use like the normal car.
Okay. Yeah.
But, and so I'd do that, bunch of equipment, get it out there. I'd have two people out there at 6 a.m. sometimes, which sucked.
And that's an interesting point. So why'd you stick with it? When do you think it was going to work out?
I still don't know that it's going to. I always feel like someone's going to take it away from me, which is why I'm here all the time. There were some dark times, you know, when I had one class when I went out there and I set up 6 a.m. It was like a Wednesday morning and no one showed up. And that was like a wake-up call for me because I'd been kind of treating it because it was a lot of friends, so I had on big discounts. Mm-hmm. And so I'd been treating it more like a service I was providing them instead of a business.
Okay.
And so that morning when I'm like cleaning up the weights that I just set up at like 6:15, realizing no one was going to show up, I was kind of like, all right, I got to do this differently. Like, right. If I'm going to do this, I have to run it as a business and treat it as a business. And that was a wake up call for me. And so I started doing more advertising, getting out there, being, because people, so I still don't run this place as like a corporate business in any capacity. Mm-hmm. You know, people come in, they're like, hey, I think I can do 6 glasses a month. What can you do for me? And I'm not going to charge them my normal unlimited rate. You know, I'd be like, all right, let's do $60 a month unlimited. Mm-hmm. Let's do that. If you come to more classes, whatever, I don't care, you're here.
Yeah.
And so I like being doing that, but also, you know, I'm putting my time in. I have to make money. I have to pay to keep the lights on.
Yeah.
And so that I just started, you know, just marketing a little bit more and just taking it a little bit more seriously. And I had some in-home clients that I was working with, which was good, but I still, this place was never in the future. I was thinking like 2 years, maybe 2 years I could get a gym. And then it became fall, and so we couldn't really do outdoor classes because it was getting dark at 6:15, and I found this place on Craigslist.
Okay.
And it was a piece of junk, but it took a lot of work. And I basically built it as, and it's still, you know, evolving. I'm getting more equipment, but what would I like for a gym? You know, for me, it's always like, you know, people think about, what would you do if you won the lottery?
Yeah.
You know, and I basically, like, you know.
I would have my own gym.
Right? Like The Rock. Like The Rock has his own gym because he makes $50 million. Yeah. And that's like the coolest thing ever. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like, hey, let's go buy a Ferrari. Yeah. Like, oh, I'd have my own gym I could work out in. So I kind of built that like this. Okay. Obviously, it'd be a little bit bigger if I had the same money he had. But, and so it's just kind of, it's worked out.
What do you think has been the most helpful or that's worked the best in terms of, again, somebody listening, mm-hmm. you know, somebody that might be thinking about, hey, you know, I'm doing this boot camp thing. I don't want to own a gym.
Yeah.
From your experience, obviously, different experience or, you know, different people, different regions of the country. Obviously, there's variables.
Yeah.
What do you think worked for you? The best, or is the best return on investment, I guess?
Best, well, so I, you know, word of mouth is huge.
Okay.
And for the most part, that was how I got started. Like every client came in through, they had heard about the gym through a friend.
Okay.
And I remember like that first time someone came in straight off the internet and I was so excited. Like someone emailed me and so they came in and I was like, who do you know? Like, who told you about this place?
Yeah. This is a secret.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's kind of like,
because when we walked in, the door, the way you come in, this place is awesome.
It's a funky little down in the basement. Yeah. People get lost all the time.
Yeah, but the entrance is incredible.
Yeah, it's a little hobbit door. It's like when I read it, I'd be like, find the red hobbit door. But so when that first person came in, I was like, I might have a business here. And so, but you know, it's the most cliche thing, but like, keep it. Anyone who, for the most part, gets into this business, they're not getting into it because they want to make a ton of money. Obviously, that'd be awesome, but they're doing it because they want to do it. And so before I found this location, I was talking with someone, and we were going to set up in another part of town, like the more businessy part of town. Mm-hmm. And he's like, we can charge a ton of money for personal training, and you know, people can afford it, and half the time they don't even show up. And then, but that just turns into another job you're doing.
Yeah.
And so for me, it's cliche, but like, I really like everyone I work with. And the fact that I'm down here in this funky little basement, people who are coming here, like, they're cool.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to be like stuck
up. And they're
up.
Choosing to come
exactly.
here, right?
They're choosing to come down in this windowless basement with no mirrors. And so it's kind of like, be true to yourself and do what you want to do. Because for the most part, you're doing this. It's a labor of love.
Yeah. You're doing it for yourself.
Yeah. Like, I could quit and go bartend and make more money, but I'd be miserable. So, but it makes you enjoy it. So you just keep, you know, do the things you want to do and have fun with it.
How did you build it out? So again, you're growing your following, you're getting more members. Did you have all this equipment when you started out?
So no, it took about, I got really lucky with some, right as I was about to start this, some people bought me out of a property that I had invested in and worked on for like 3 years. We bought a little cabin up north, worked on it for 3 years. And they're like, hey, we'll buy you out. So I got a check from that.
Okay.
And basically put it all into here, put like $25,000 into here.
Okay.
Equipment, you know, dumbbells, kettlebells, sleds, all the everything I needed, like a new cement floor, which was $6,000. Yeah. And then, you know, in terms of the business side of it, Yelp. You know, I did Google Ads.
Okay.
It was garbage. Didn't get any increase in web traffic. I play with Facebook ads, but I think I now run a Yelp ad, and it's my web traffic. It's not crazy high. Like, I have like 13 views, average views, but if I get a few customers a month, that's all you need.
Yeah, because I mean, you're not looking to bring in 150 people in
here.
You
can't. It's not sustainable. That's the next location.
That's the next location.
Planet Fitness. That Planet Fitness model.
Okay, there you go. What kind of, you know, we kind of talked about people coming in here. They choose to come here. What kind of people? What kind of clients do you work with?
Yeah, so it's a wide range of people. Mm-hmm. You know, for the most part, I don't have anyone who's getting ready to do a powerlifting competition or getting ready to jump on a bodybuilding stage. Like, it's people who just want to get a little stronger. Seattle's super progressive, and especially the Capitol Hill neighborhood. Mm-hmm. So we have, you know, some people who are just getting into fitness for the first time, some people who've gone to other gyms, done CrossFit. Pretty much everyone has done CrossFit at some point. Mm-hmm. And I use some elements of that, but I try to make it different and make sure I'm not CrossFit, because you can go across the street and there's an amazing CrossFit gym, and I send people there if that's what they're looking for. Okay. But, you know, Seattle's super progressive, and so I have a lot of, I've tapped in well to the gay community here, and it's...
No, when we walked in, actually, something I noticed, and I'm new to Seattle, it's the first time I've been here, and it's an amazing town. From what we noticed so far, it's very welcoming. Neighborhood is very cool that you're in, but there's these little stickers on the door, on the Hobbit door. It's a safe place.
It's a safe place. Yeah, and that's, you know, because there have been, even as progressive as Seattle is, there have been some, you know, like hate crimes that have happened. You know, people walking home from bars, and especially in this neighborhood, there's a lot of gay bars around here. People walking home and getting jumped by three people.
Okay,
you know, and so. Businesses and the Seattle PD, I think, has been really good about trying to have, like, safe space if anything pops up. Like, this is where you can go. And so, for me, it was just... That came easily. Like, I didn't really have to put any effort into that.
Yeah.
People just kind of... The gay community, I think, word got out. Word of mouth, for the most part. You know, I had a few gay clients, and they told their friends, and so that grew. And then, since then, I've started a Saturday morning class with this person named Glenn... And we have tried to work hard to make it not just gay friendly, but trans friendly, queer friendly as well, because that's a community that doesn't get the same recognition and they don't have the same power, I would say, as the gay community. Like, the gay community, for the most part, has a lot of money. They do well. HRC is an amazing organization, and they've, you know, they're getting their policies. You know, they're getting their policies through in the government for the most part. They still have things to fight for, of course.
Yeah.
But the trans community is kind of disenfranchised. Mm-hmm. And it's a separate community from the gay community. And so we've tried to promote, you have to promote an intentional safe space for them. You can't just, it can't just be like, we're progressive, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
You can come, no one cares. I think that's hard for some people.
To trust that
and don't identify with, you know, standard
with you
standard or standard gender pronouns.
Yeah.
And so we've tried to do that with our Saturday class intros. What's your preferred gender pronoun? And I think for some people it's been a new discovery. Mm-hmm. And we're just trying things out, but it's been fun.
Awesome.
Yeah.
What kind of programs do you what kind of services do you offer at Rain City?
So we do lots of personal training. You know, for the most part, that's what keeps the doors open.
Okay.
Who
does the personal training?
I do.
You get to work with this one.
Yep. I have a couple other trainers. Main one is this woman, Stephanie, who is awesome. She's an aspiring CrossFit competitor.
Okay.
She's getting big time into it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I haven't had bumper plates in here, kind of like for a reason. And then I just bought a big set because my brother wanted them.
Uh-huh.
And she saw them. She's like, oh, that's awesome. And now she's in here like doing snatches and slamming weights around. It's like,
uh-oh. My turn into a CrossFit.
Exactly. I'm scared. Well, every time I buy something from Rogue, it just makes it more CrossFit.
Yeah.
And so this just happened last week. I needed hooks to like hang things on. And I was talking to my brother, I'm like, let's just get some hooks from Lowe's. And he knows how I kind of am trying not to be CrossFit. And so he went on Rogue and ordered like Rogue hooks, which is just nonsense.
Yeah.
Because you know you're paying like double the price because it says Rogue on it and makes me feel like CrossFit.
Okay.
But so I have her. She's my main trainer. And for the most part, new clients coming in, I'm either sending them to her or I'm taking them. And it's fun. You know, my prices are cheaper than most places around in Seattle. But again, personal training is expensive.
Yeah.
And especially if you're coming twice a week, like that adds up.
So so let's take this opportunity, right?
Yeah.
Besides you being a good-looking, hung of a man.
That helps.
That helps. Why should somebody come in to, you know, to Rain City Fit and work with you and Stephanie versus maybe somebody else?
Yeah. I wouldn't say I have a real fitness philosophy, but for me, I want people lifting heavy and doing it safely, and we're going to build up to it. And I don't think take things too seriously in here. My goal is to for you to come in, have fun for an hour, and we're going to kick your butt. And depending on, you know, the day, we might kick your butt a little bit harder.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's... We try to be completely judgment-free down here. Like, I was going to put mirrors up. I had a plan to put mirrors up. I bought a bunch. I didn't want to put them up because we had four mirrors. One of them broke, sliced me in the arm. I was like, all right, I don't know if I want to put these up. Yeah. And I didn't have the money to professionally install them.
Yeah.
And then I started asking people, and people were like, no, I don't really want them.
Okay.
Like, I don't want to look at myself when I'm doing an exercise. And, like, I kind of like just being able to get to come down here and not have to worry about how I look while I'm working out really hard. And so people come here to get stronger and feel better about yourself. And I'm going to work with you. Stephanie's going to work with you. Whatever you want to do. We're going to not judge you. We're going to take it slow. And I'm not going to gouge you on price. Like, I have probably a third of my clients who are owe me money. And they're like, oh, I'll bring it next
time. Great business model.
Yeah. I'm bad about it. You know, they're like, oh, I'll bring it next time. And it's like, whatever. I don't care. Okay. You know, it's... And so I'm always just trying to work with people. And I've set my prices at a level where people can afford it. And people have told me, you're too cheap. But I don't, it's still $55 an hour for personal training. That's not inexpensive.
And something that I want to bring back is, again, you also have a personal story that you basically, fitness was your, I don't want to say medicine, but essentially your way out of it.
Yeah.
That people maybe can connect to more than necessarily somebody that, hey, just takes a personal certification and starts working out in a global gym. Right?
Yeah.
So it is a little different and a little deeper maybe rationale
and
pursuit of fitness.
And it's, you know, for a lot of people, it's therapy for an hour. You know, people want to come in and talk about how shitty their day is or whatnot. And so we can do that. And then I'll be like, all right, hold on for a second, focus on this set. Like, hit 8 reps, and then we can talk about how shitty your day is. You know, so it's kind of just, we just lift in between, like, the therapy. I'm just a really cheap therapist and not qualified for that in any capacity.
So speaking of, another great segue, what's next for me? What's next for you? What's next
for me? I'm just trying to learn and grow and get better. You know, probably pick up some more certifications, where the more I can carve out more time for myself. You know, I've gone through phases where this is all I can focus on and just what's right in front of my face. And so losing the big picture. And so I'll get away from learning and I have to get back to that because I really enjoy that. You know, when you start, can sit down for 2 hours and just find articles to read.
Yeah.
It feels good. It just re-energizes you.
And it brings more value back.
Yeah, absolutely. And so for me, it's just making this place as awesome as I can and as welcoming as I can and learning, dialing in the business and just being more efficient because I still have to do the same amount of work, but if you can do it quicker, then you have more time to do other things. And then eventually maybe another location,
bigger, location.
A little bit bigger,
still no mirrors, but a bigger location.
Yeah, no mirrors.
If there's one thing that somebody listening or watching, if there's one thing that you want people to take away from this conversation, what would that one thing be?
Just fucking do it. Like, I didn't know what the hell I was doing. And I took risks. I spent a bunch of money. But
you didn't throw it against the wall. You pursued it.
Pursued it. Yeah. You know, find something you like to do and try to do it as best you can. we spend so much of our lives in jobs that we hate to do. And for the most part, I've never done that. And I've worked in restaurants because restaurants are easy and I don't really mind it. And you can make decent money. But you just got to take risks sometime. It's never the perfect time for anything.
Yeah.
You know, and this thing has gotten in the way of other stuff I like to do. Like, I love to travel. This is going to be the first year I haven't gone anywhere internationally in like 6 years because of this. So this takes away from other things. But for the most part, you just got to do something. There's no plan. I have no idea what was going to happen here. This is completely not the vision I had for this place at all. But it's worked out.
I was going to say, has it turned out the way better or?
Better. Okay. Better. I mean, you know, like I was saying to you before, like you open a gym and you want the people who just spend $50 a month and never go to the gym. Right. Everyone has a gym membership because they'd feel good about having a gym membership, right, even if they never use it. And so when I opened a gym, I was like, oh yeah, I'll just get like 50 members like that. I'll see like three of them and just keep that money rolling in. Yeah. And then I realized the space was too small to do that if they actually use the gym. But it's awesome. It's awesome the way it's worked out right now.
All right. Well, how much time do we have? We're good. We're just going to keep talking. 3 minutes. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to switch batteries. I'm going to finish up with Ben in a second. All right. We got our battery back in. We're back with Ben. We're going to just finish up, so remember, make it fucking happen. Pursue it.
Just do it. Just do it. Who cares? You got to fail at some point, right?
Exactly. You learn from your failures.
Yeah.
Do better for it. We're going to finish up with a lightning round.
Yeah.
So this has nothing to do with what we talked about for the last 50 minutes.
Good.
You are a new color in the crayon box. What color are you?
Lavender.
Lavender.
Yeah.
Okay. If you could describe the word yellow to somebody who's blind, how would you describe it to?
Someone who's blind?
Yeah.
Oh, it's either pee or the sun. You've been dehydrated and you can smell your pee, that's what that color is.
Okay, that's what that color is. All right, cool. How many pennies? So everybody give a sense of the size of this place. How many pennies could fit in this room?
More than 100, less than a billion?
A billion, okay. That's a lot of pennies. if you could be any animal in the world, what would you be? And why?
Oof. Probably like a cat of some order, but not just like a normal cat. You got to be like, you know, one of like the panthers or something.
Okay.
Or like a panther. So those things are pretty
badass.
So
we brought it full circle.
Yeah.
Start off with cats, we're going to finish off with cats.
Because they get to sleep as much as they want, but then when they go for it, they're like going for it. Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Where can people find you? Where is Rain City Fit?
RainCityFit.com. Okay. Beautiful website that needs to be updated a lot. you know, we're on Facebook, Rain City Fit, Instagram, which needs more posts, social media. Actually, I'm making my brother do the social media now.
Perfect. He's your social media manager.
He's your social media and my buyer, apparently. And he gets to come to the gym for free.
Oh, nice.
So, in Capitol Hill in Seattle.
Awesome. We'll link all that up in the show notes.
Yeah.
On our website and on YouTube. Ben, awesome.
Hey, that's fun, man.
Thank you, bro.
Yeah.
Take it easy, guys.